Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And it's a pleasure to have back with us for another year here on the Sports Talk Media Network, the Major Billy Downer from the Department of Natural Resources. The 2021 edition of SC Wild is off and running. Hope you had a happy new year, great holidays, you're feeling well, and you're ready to go hunting and fishing.
Yes, sir. Ready to start yet another year. Hopefully we have put the worst year behind us.
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. Did you get a chance to engage in any good stuff over the holidays?
Oh, we went deer hunting a little bit. Did not get to go I did go waterfowl hunting. I did do that. So went on my draw hunt. This year is my year to get drawn, and we had a tough hunt. We had we can talk more about that in a bit, but yeah, it was a little rough. Ducks are kind of in and out, depends on where you go. So it was, we had fun, but it certainly was not the most ducks I'd ever seen. How about that?
Is that because of the weather? Because it was warmer?
Yeah, a little bit. It gets a little warmer sometimes. Also, it's just because the way ducks move around, and particularly the area we chose to go to, had ducks the weekend before, but then the ducks, as they do, start moving around and started using some of the other ponds near our WMA during the day, and so they're not floating around on our marsh. They're in other planted ponds, and the patterns change. When the pattern changes like that, you just kind of wait it out. And unfortunately, you get one day to go, and you got a couple hours. You just got to sit there and hope.
Sure,
we had a good day, so we did. We did do well. We did get we got a mottled duck apiece and a mallard hen to boot. So it was a fun morning. So we didn't come home empty handed, no doubt. But it was tough hunt. Tough hunt.
All right. Let me give the number for folks who want to call in with a question or comment. Maybe they can share a holiday hunting experience with you and with the audience. 888-898-2525. You can also send us a question on our Twitter at SportsTalkSC, or shoot us an email, heysportstalk@sportstalksc.com. The Major will take on all questions and comments and observations. Before we dive into waterfowl season, deer season, upcoming seasons, what's going on with DNR now that we're into the new year? The COVID situation, it continues, but, you know, things are moving along, like your offices, your availability, people able to get out to see agents and meet with them. Where does all that stand?
So, you know, the field officers we talked about, their job hasn't changed. They're still out there engaging the public every day. Our offices, as far as doing any kind of boating paperwork, licensing, they are open 5 days a week as normal, back to normal hours, as they have been before Christmas. Even though we've seen numbers surge a little bit right now, our offices are still open. Now, we do staff a little differently sometimes. Some of our officers are still staffing AB days, but the offices are still open to the public. So that's kind of our report for, you know, basically for the public, as far as the public is concerned, our offices are still open normal business hours.
Good, good. Have you expanded any offices, closed any offices, same number of offices?
Nope. No, have not changed anything. Again, just with the numbers going up, there has been a lot of cautious perspective there as far as the approach has still been cautious. If folks can stay at home and work telework, they're allowed to do that still across state government, really. But, you know, people are still coming in. Like I said, we're doing AB days. People come in Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, those kind of things. So, but again, you know, our licensing offices are open. Our licensing is going full swing. And all of our offices from Charleston, Florence, out of the Farmers Market, York County office, and then up at Clemson, those offices are all open Monday through Friday.
Have you found that the open field – and the open waters are a safe place to be when it comes to COVID? I mean, have you heard of many huntermen?
Absolutely. That's why we saw boating be such a surge in boating this past spring, because people want to get outside.
Yeah.
Fishing licenses went up 15%. Have not heard the numbers on hunting licenses because we don't have a hunting season all the way yet. but certainly expect to see that hunting license sales probably have gone up too. A lot of folks wanting to go outside because they feel safer outside in the outdoors, as they should. Clean, fresh air, which, you know, a little bit, you know, harder for disease transmission when you're out in the open like that, not in a closed room. So it's been real good. But let's dive into waterfowl season real quick, give some folks
right.
a report.
Go right ahead.
So waterfowl season is going to continue through Sunday, January 31st. Remembering our season can go through the last Sunday of the month, so January 31st is the last Sunday of this month. Despite some slower conditions across the state, some of our Category 1 waterfowl areas are seeing high success rates. I'm going to give you a report from our Category 1 areas. These are the areas that you have to draw, you get drawn for, typically taking around 3 to 4 years to get drawn, $20 a year to be in the draw. So last week, the top area was Murphy Island at Santee Coastal Reserve with an average of 5.5 ducks per man. I know you love that duck, a half duck feel, but there it was.
Yep.
The top duck in the bag was green-winged teal with gadwall in second. Blue-winged teal and shovelers tied for third. Our second-place Category 1 area was the Cape, also at Sandy Coastal Reserve, with an average of 3.8 ducks per man. There was a tie for top duck in the bag at the Cape between blue-winged teal and northern shoveler. Gadwall took second, and mallards were third. In third place this past week was Cedar Island, again, Sandy Coastal Reserve, with an average of 3.5 ducks per man. The top duck was gadwall with blue wings in second and green wings in third. So the area I went to was Bear Island, and Bear Island has seen some really good success in recent years, Springfield Cut being a really good area. And the Saturday before I went, they had a 4.1 duck per man day. The day we went, the ducks flew off and went to other to private impoundments, and we literally shot four times. So it was a slow day. That's what happens. So week to week, things do change a little bit depending on duck movements. I do know that Sandy Coastal Reserve, their numbers have been increasing over the last few years, really doing some really good management there. Our folks there are working really hard to manage those coastal impoundments, and they're seeing the numbers come back there as well. So, again, if you got drawn for a coastal hunt, you got a good shot at seeing some gadwall, a good chance seeing gadwall. Of course, you got a good shot at model ducks. Been blue-winged teal being the top ducks all the way across the board. Pintails have been in and out. Coastal Reserve, Sandy Coastal Reserve has been full of pintails, but they're moving from impoundment to impoundment, so it depends on week to week where they're at. Inland, you know, some of our impoundments are still seeing some success, but most of it has slowed down at this point in the season. A few ponds hold a fair number of ringnecks, and I mean a few ponds now, where there were a majority of ponds with ringnecks in our inland impoundments. And that's private impoundments in the Rimini area around Lake Marion. But many are reduced now to shooting for that one duck limit on bluebills when one happens to swoop in. Remember, our bluebill limit, the scalp, lesser and greater scalp, changed from 2 to 1 on Christmas Eve and will remain 1 per day for the remainder of the season. The feds did that, put a limit on bluebills. So.
Is that a protective measure?
Yes, it is. It's kind of odd to see a change in the middle of the season like that, but that's what the feds did this year. They gave us an opportunity for two ducks early and then changed it to 1 from Christmas Eve on. So we took the maximum we could take, and basically you just kind of have to deal with that change. But now you can only kill one bluebill per day, take one bluebill per day.
All right.
So that's our duck season wrap-up.
All right, before we shift to deer, I want to talk about your cooking of the duck over the holiday that you were able to nab. What was your favorite dish that you put together?
So duck-wise, our favorite recipe at the house here is turned into – it used to be Allegro Game Tame was just a favorite. We did that. You go get Allegro Game Tame off the shelf in any of your grocery stores, marinating that, which is basically a soy sauce, teriyaki, a soy sauce-based mixture. That was really good. And then wrap it in bacon and cook them medium to medium rare. So now what we do is we marinate our duck breasts in teriyaki. That's our favorite now. And you basically cut the breast up in 2 to 3 equal pieces, depending on what type of duck. If it's a mallard or a gadwall, a larger duck, big ducks, you'll take it in 3 pieces. If it's a ringneck, maybe 2 pieces. Wood duck, teal is going to be 1 piece, of course. You're going to marinate that in teriyaki for at least 24 hours. You're going to wrap that in a piece of bacon, put it on the grill. When it's about medium to medium rare, which is a pink, warm red center, take it off. And right when you take it off, you're going to put a dab of honey on the top. and that honey's going to melt across that, and that little bit of that sweet with that teriyaki salt makes a really good combination. So that's our favorite on top.
As soon as we're done tonight, I'm going to go out and shoot me a gadwall. And
there you go.
Let me ask you this: Would you ever prepare one in a air fryer?
No, I would not.
Okay.
Not that something like fry stuff, but frying just to me dries meat out too much, particularly when it comes to ducks, because they don't have a lot of fat in the meat anyway. So you fry and sway, it just ends up turning to leather for the most part. Grill is a whole lot better for duck.
Okay.
And now with the Traeger grills that are out there, you can keep them very succulent and very, very tasty.
All right. Very good. Deer.
So deer season closed January 1st, and our statewide youth day was this past Saturday right after that. Unfortunately, only about 2 days in there. So we had a lot of rain this past weekend, as most folks know across the state. The rain really made hunting pretty tough. I had some youth hunting with us, and it just did not get to see any deer on that final youth day. A few managed to take some deer despite the poor conditions. But deer season closed out for yet another year, and as my old first sergeant used to say, just wait 6 months, he'll be right back. So, pretty much 6 months, he'll be right back again. August is right around the corner, so. But deer season's gone. So what other seasons are still open to talk about? So right now, dove season's still open. For those that like the fast flyers, dove season will be open through Sunday, January 31st. Rabbit and quail season remain open through March 1st. Again, small games become very popular in the last few years with folks wanting to get out in the outdoors and experience the old way of hunting with dogs, particularly for rabbit with the beagles. Quail season, again, most part in our states has become put and take, release, but still it's open through March the 1st. Squirrel season's open through March the 1st as well. Again, another popular sport with dogs, with the mountain fice, tree and curs, all those little different dog breeds that are out there for small dogs, for squirrels. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks enjoy that, and this time of year particularly, because the deer hunters are out of the woods now, so folks go in there and like to squirrel hunt, and that's open through March 1st again. Raccoon season, my son's favorite sport, will be open through March 15th for guns and dogs as well. Again, after deer season, raccoon season really kind of takes off. Coon season takes off because folks can get in the woods, don't have to worry about disturbing anybody. Or having deer, or running the deer hunters early in the morning or late at night, the late afternoon when they want to go coon hunting. So that's what's going on now. Late goose season. So there's a late goose season that happens in February, and February the 14th through March 1st, and that is our season to help control in-state goose populations, and that will be the last of the waterfowl seasons coming up. Goose season.
We did not have what you would qualify as a great deer season in 2020.
No, I would say we did have a pretty good deer season. A lot of folks killed a lot of nice deer. Deer season from year to year is just, when you want to judge a deer season, you speculate on where your cold weather was. Did you have enough cold weather to get deer moving? Was it the cold weather in October, November when deer typically rut in our state, so really heightens things? Did you have a lot of rain? Did you have dry days? All those factors factor in to whether somebody has a good deer season or not. And then folks, of course, having the opportunity to go and be able to enjoy deer hunting, and folks that are limited to the weekends sometimes don't get to go deer hunting. So, again, you get into timetable too. Before November, you got, daylight savings time, and you've got time to get home from work and go hunting. When November comes around, you can't. You can't get home in time. It's already dark. By 6 o'clock, you can't get to stand it by 4 because you don't get off till 5. Mm-hmm. So it makes it hard for a lot of folks to hunt during the week. So deer season, again, just depends on your job. If you're 4 day a week, 5 day a week, sometimes Saturday and Sunday is the only 2 days people get to hunt. So that really limits their opportunity to go see or shoot a deer. And everybody goes on Saturday and Sunday, so there's a lot more pressure on deer on Saturdays and Sundays. So sometimes being able to go during the week is a whole lot better. So all those things factor in. Overall, good. I heard of some good deer being taken. Again, nobody likes to get hot in December and mosquitoes come back out, but that sometimes happens in our state. As they say, if you don't like the weather today in South Carolina, just wait; it'll change tomorrow.
Well, it's supposed to get
what it's like for us.
Don't we have a bit of a cold front starting to come towards the state, where the temperatures are going to be dropping here in the next week or so? And is that going to be good for the hunters?
That's going to be good for duck hunting. Everybody always likes cold front because cold fronts Everybody believes it pushes ducks in, and sometimes it indeed it does. Ducks will move, a new flight of ducks will move in a good hard cold front because it freezes above us, freezes the water in the ponds and lakes and things where these areas where waterfowl are, and it pushes them on down further. And that's typically when we used to get good flights of ducks is when things would freeze up.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly that does, cold weather does forebode well for us because it just gives the opportunity, hopefully, to get some a new push of birds in. Because after a few weeks of the same birds being around, they get wise to shooting. They know where all the ponds are. They know where all the blinds are. They've been to every area of the lake. They've been shot out on every end of the lake, and they're pretty smart.
Really? They figure it out?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they figure it out quick.
Huh.
They've seen every by the time they get down here, they've seen every decoy, every spinning wing, every contraption known to man from Canada all the way down to here. So they're pretty doggone smart.
How about that? Before we touch on the watery range, I wanted to ask you, with everything going on with schools, virtual learning, schools being closed and all that, how has that impacted your high school and younger age gun sports that DNR promotes?
That's a great question. So our shooting sports, for our shotgun sports, we have been doing virtual tournaments. We did a virtual skeet event this past December. And by virtual, what we did was we allowed folks to go to any local range and shoot for score and record their score, and they emailed it in. And we actually had more kids participate this past year in December in that skeet event. I don't know the exact numbers. I know it was over 600 kids shot in that event. That's the largest skeet event we've ever had.
Wow.
So there was a positive there. So this trap event this in January here this month will be the same way. It's also going to be virtual. They'll have the opportunity to go to any range they want to record their score, send it in, and then we'll take those top scores. And we're hoping to do a smaller or reduced size state tournament where we can control numbers and have a safe tournament. But we'll have to see what COVID numbers are in the next 3 to 4 weeks before we can do that. But it has changed it a little bit. We still have a lot of participation, though. Good news is participation is still there, just doing it a little bit differently. And then we'll wait to see for the shooting sports coming up, like archery is the one that gets hit the hardest because when kids aren't in school, they can't shoot the archery at school. So we'll have to see what archery in schools, how this affects that. But certainly the programs are still growing. People still want to get involved. It's just in-person learning, in-person sports takes a hit right now a little bit. So, but we're continuing with that.
Certainly. What about the watery range?
So watery range, I just want to make a comment, because this time of year, you know, folks looking for something to do, located over there at 14068 Garner's Ferry Road in Eastover, the old Indigo Gun Club, the watery gun range that DNR runs now, has skeet, trap, sporting clays, five stand. We also have the rifle and pistol range, and we're still open. We are open for business, haven't really closed since we reopened back in May, June, so we've been open for business. And for the shotgun sports, it's easy to stay, you know, socially distanced. It's easy for us to limit folks in those ranges and still have a safe event. When it comes to the rifle pistol range, a little bit different. Every other position is closed off so that we can ensure safe physical distancing. We ask that folks wear a mask when they come to the range. When they get to their position, they can take it off in the shooting. No problem. Again, remember, all of your guns, when you come to any of our ranges, must be unloaded and in a case before you take it out of your vehicle. So just keep that in mind when you come to our ranges. Guns must be unloaded and in a case. But our ranges are open. Again, we feel like, you know, the ranges provide an opportunity for folks to go in the outdoors, just like hunting and fishing, clean air, and we're trying to provide a safe experience for them. We have rifle and pistol ranges, of course, at the Pickens Range, the Spartanburg Range, which is called the James O. Thomason Range. Then we have the Watery Range here in Columbia. And then we have the Twin Ponds Range down in Charleston and Allendale area. All those areas offer pistol and rifle with some limited shotgun opportunities as well. Of course, our watery range is our premier range for shotgun because we've got four skeet and trap overlay fields. Just completed all that renovation there. So we have four trap and skeet overlay fields there, along with the covered five stand and the 50 clay, sporting clay course. Invite folks to come out. It's not, you know, our charge is very minimal from the standpoint. It's only $10 to shoot 50 targets. It's $5 for 25 targets. So to shoot our sporting clays course, which is a 50-target course, doesn't cost but $10. It's a short course, you know, maybe about three-quarter mile walk, mile and a half round trip walk, not a bad walk. We enjoy it. We would ask that folks come out and enjoy that and try it out if you haven't before. We certainly are open for business and look forward to continue having people come out and enjoy safe shooting sports.
Good way to work on your skills, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. Always great for us. So, again, as we like to say, just stay safe and shoot often. We want you to come out there and shoot a lot and enjoy it. Again, in shooting sports, this time of year, folks are looking for something to do. Our ranges offer a safe opportunity to do that, and we feel like we still have a safe opportunity for folks, even though COVID numbers are up and things, it's outdoors, and we're doing our best, again, to ensure that physical distancing so folks can enjoy the outdoors there as well.
Alan, so that's our goal. Hopefully we had an accident-free holiday season. Did you hear of any issues related to boating or shooting accidents over the holidays?
We had a few, and now that you mention that's one of the things we want to remind folks, particularly duck hunting, because we continue to have this year in, year out, have this happen. Folks swinging on the duck, we call it target fixation. If folks are on that duck, they're swinging from one blind, they're in the blind, they're swinging that on that duck, and they forget what's behind that duck, and they shoot the duck and shoot somebody in the next blind across from them. And we've had that happen with some targets, just with steel shot being scattered and actually penetrating somebody's, face or skin, the shoulder. None of that's fun. Nobody wants to be shot, and it can be prevented. You just can't get so focused on the target that you forget what's beyond it. One of our rules is, know what's in front of and beyond your target. So if you miss, if you're shooting a duck, particularly flying, you're not going to hit the duck with all the shot, and sometimes you don't hit the duck at all. You miss. And your shot's going down range, and it goes 200 yards. So you kind of got to know where everybody is around you. A lot of these ponds, particularly private ponds, have blinds sometimes that are too close together. And folks get excited, swing on that duck, and they focus on that duck, and they forget, and they swing through, and they'll shoot, and they can harm somebody else. Just like in a dove field. We talk about the same thing in dove fields. But always remember where your target is, what's beyond your target, so that you know if you miss, that you don't hit someone else. It's always in quail hunting. Everybody always remembers the vice president for that one way back. It's the same thing. Target fixation. Don't get so focused on that flying bird that you forget where it's going and what's beyond it, because you'll swing on and swing towards somebody else.
Great words of wisdom to wrap things up. In a couple of weeks, we'll talk more about what's going on in the fields, and we'll see what the temperature's doing. Who knows? Maybe it'll warm up a little bit, and you can drop a line out there somewhere.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure
to be with you tonight, sir.
Yes, sir. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Major Billy Downer from DNR, tonight's edition of SC Wild, brought to you by the Department of Natural Resources here on the Sports Talk Media Network, and we appreciate the Major.